Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother James from DontPerish.com. Today I want to bring you something called 40 Lies in about 44 minutes. Yeah, today I have to do a review of a so-called exposing of me, DontPerish.com. I want to discuss this today. I want to approach this as a teaching moment for us all, not in anger, not a get you back, not a hate. No, this is going to be a teaching moment. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer. John 4:24, Jesus said we must be worshiping in spirit and truth. So this is about the Spirit of God, the truth of God, giving an answer. Let's talk about this. So there's a man named Jeremiah, a young man, and he reached out to me via email. He's from a ministry called online on YouTube called In the Light of Christ. And he did the most lame, unbiblical, slandering, lieful testing, full of lies, testing I've ever seen. 40 lies in 44 minutes. I'm going to show you that. And I want to go over this as a teaching moment. As I said, keep in mind, as you're listening to me go through this, out of my many, 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 many teaching resources, several thousand, close to 4,000, what you're going to hear is what he came up with against me, and he based it all on lies. That's all he's got, which is really sad, right? So let's start out. Let's give some background. He came to me, emailed, and he told me, and I'm going to have screenshots of all of this on this testing to prove it. So if you go listen to this audio, then go look at the testing below. I'm going to give you screenshots of all this stuff. He said he liked my website so much, and I was in truth, he's handing it out to people as he's out street preaching. Yeah, that's what he said. He said I was sound in the faith. I have a question. Was he a liar? Was he undiscerning? Or is he a deceiver? I guess you are all going to have to decide that as you listen into this. Now, we emailed. We made contact via email. Then eventually switched to Messenger. We even talked on the phone a few times. And we went into the Word. And love was sent back and forth to him and I often. And now in this video, you'll hear it. I'm going to audio record his voice and then I'm going to comment. He says, I have no love, I have no light. Well, I have a question. Is he a liar? Is he undiscerning? Or is he a deceiver? You guys are all going to have to decide that. When we talked, we covered the gospel. We covered various topics together. And then, along our discussion, he brought up skirts for women. He was very much against women preaching on an amplifier and being out street preaching. And we talked about that, and so that's fine. But he brought up skirts for women. And we talked about that. And I brought up dress for men, right? I mean, this guy walks around in skinny pants. I have pictures of him on the testing. And tight t-shirts showing off his body. So he's telling women how they should dress. So I thought, well, we're supposed to be the example, right? 1 Peter, two posts, we're to be the example, the men. So I brought up, God put mankind in tunics. And we started discussing it. I sent him some of my teachings. He was seeing it. And I have proof of all this on screen captures, by the way. So just look below. And he was seeing it. And he looked at my articles. And he saw in Genesis 3 where God took skins of animals and made tunics. I have screen captures where he says, I'm going to get a tunic. And he started seeing it. But then everything changed when his wife got involved. Feminization, Eve in the garden. Remember, folks, feminization came from Eve and Satan in the garden. And it's wreaked havoc ever since. Jeremiah fell victim. Because his house is feminized. His wife does not dress biblical. His wife does not cover. His wife influenced him. I'm going to prove that to you in the screen captures. He even made a comment that she gets picky. And anything that looks religious, she reacts out against. I'll have the screen capture of that. But it got ugly really quick. And then we started discussing God's love. And I made the comment that God showed his love 2,000 years ago in Jesus Christ at the cross. And that love was given to the world, but it's aimed at those that are repentive and come through Christ. Otherwise, the wrath of God is what you're going to face. Well, he got all upset about that. He started saying things that aren't true. God loves the sinner but hates sin. We're going to cover that. And we're going to go over this one by one. John 15:14. You are my friend if you keep my commandments, is what Jesus clearly says. So we went back and forth on Messenger. I have that all captured on the testing below. And I ended up, in Titus 3 heretic fashion, rejecting him because he started getting very unbiblical in his theology. And so that brings us to the testing. 40 lies in 44 minutes. I'm going to discern it. No hate. We love him. Just pity and sadness as he and his house are feminized. He's been deceived by many false teachers. I'm going to prove that right on his website. They're a stain against the truth of God. And he really is acting as a worker of Satan with all of his lies. And I'm going to prove that. I hope he repents to the saving of his soul. So let's go there. I'm going to audio record his voice. Then I'm going to cover it line by line. Let's go to it.
Called don'tperish.com. Don't Perish is a false religion founded by a man called Jim and his wife called Debbie.
Okay, so right there he starts off saying we're a false religion. He fails to prove that in his testing. Lie number one. Let's keep going.
But I had to bring this to my attention and expose this false cult with its heretical, dangerous doctrines to the whole world. And I'm going to do
so. So you heard him say right there, heretical, dangerous doctrines to the whole world. More lies. Remember, 40 lies in 40 minutes. Actually, it's in 44 minutes. It's actually more than 40 lies. He doesn't prove any of this. He twists, he lies, he slanders. But we'll keep listening.
Are truly saved, having been born again of the Spirit, we must remember that truth in Scripture has only been revealed to those who truly believe and who God has willed. Quote, Colossians
chapter... All right, so here he quotes Colossians 1, and he's talking about whom God wills, but he's very good at pulling Scriptures out, proof texting, but not using the rest of God's Word. God actually tells us in 2 Peter 3:8 that God wants none to perish. This young man has a Calvinistic bent to his theology. I'm going to prove it by his associations. He'll deny that, but he definitely has Calvinism in him, heresy in his gospel. God wills. Yep. And then God wants none to perish. Acts 17, God calls men everywhere, all men, to repent. Let's keep going.
A novice, and amen to that. The Bible tells me, quote, in Matthew 18:3, and said, truly I say to you, unless you change and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. However,
okay, let's hold it right there. So he is upset. He's very pride-filled. He's upset that I called him a novice because he's brand new in the faith, under 2 years. And he's out teaching and doing all these things, and he's not sound in his doctrine. So he mentions that I called him a novice. And then he quotes Matthew where Jesus said, you must come to the kingdom of God like a child. Hey, we agree with that verse. We love it. The problem is children aren't teachers, Jeremiah. All right? 1 Timothy 3:6 warns against those that are novice, not being teachers. So he doesn't understand what God's word has to say about being a teacher. We come to faith and knowledge as a child. We don't teach like a child. Remember Paul said, I was a child, I believed like a child, then he grew up. Yeah, Jeremiah has some growing up to do in the faith, if he truly is of God. But let's keep going.
Competitive knowledge, study, how long one's been a Christian, oh, you don't know nothing attitude is not of God. Quote, 1 Corinthians 1.
All right, so here he goes on and he's quoting 1 Corinthians 1. And, no, I take that back. He didn't quote 1 Corinthians 1 there. That's coming up. He degrades study. You heard him degrade study. But if we look at 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us that study is a good thing. Did you hear him degrade study? Here's what Paul says. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, the word of truth. So did you notice he's not fond of studying, and it's evident by this testing, his life, his feminized home. So we're going to keep going.
Boast in the Lord and not ourselves. Quote, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 through 30 says, so that no man may boast before God. But
all right, so right here, and here's where he's quoting 1 Corinthians 1, and he's a liar, more lies, remember? Over 40 lies in 44 minutes. He's talking about boasting in the Lord, and he's ensuing, saying that I'm prideful. When we talked on the phone, I told him, I boast a lot, and it's in Christ and what Christ has done and the hope and the truth and the Spirit in me. So he's a liar. I made it clear what I boast in. He's insinuating that I'm boasting in my own ways. Everything about me, I tell people all the time, I have no truth. I have nothing outside of the Word, the Spirit, and the truth of God. Jeremiah's lying. We're going to keep going.
I've truly been saved. Know that it was not of ourselves, what we personally do, or what we had done, but it is a gift. Quote, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith.
All right, so he goes on and he quotes Ephesians 2, and he really likes to hang on that verse. And I want to share with you why his gospel is so false. He quotes Ephesians 2, and we love it. We love God's word. He has a teaching on his website. I'll put a screen capture of it. He teaches you're saved by faith alone. Not one Bible verse teaches that. In fact, the only Bible verse that ever says faith only is James, where he says, you're not saved by faith only. Show me your works, I'll show you my faith. Jeremiah has a false gospel. He has no clue what he's talking about. He's a novice. He needs to study more. And you know, I actually told him that. I told him he should take a break from his preaching, get his house in order, his life in order, his wife in order, and study more. He didn't like that. I think that's really why he put this testing out. Full of lies. So he lies right there on his blog saying you're saved by faith alone. That's another lie. Remember, 40 lies, over 40 lies in 44 minutes. Let's keep going.
Spirit that leads us unto good works and not deeds of man-made religious movements like don'tperish.com. We have.
Okay, so let's stop right there. So he says, I teach a deeds-based faith. Another lie. Everything I teach is backed up in the Word of God. Thousands of articles, and all he could find is these lies. And you're going to hear some heinous lies he says about my ministry. He's already told a bunch of lies. Deeds. He insinuates that I'm teaching man-made doctrine. Not one thing. Everything I teach is right from the New Testament or from pre-Torah, going all the way back to Genesis, where God ordained marriage, God ordained how men and women should dress, God ordained not eating blood. Yep, all that in Genesis, pre-Torah. So he thinks deeds are a bad thing, yet James says faith and works go together. Jesus says teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Matthew 28:20. Jeremiah is a very confused young man. Let's keep going.
And let Jesus teach you his word. Quote, in 1 John 2:27 it says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
All right, so let's talk about that. So he quotes 1 John 2, you need no man to teach you. So he hangs on these single lone verses and not using the rest of God's word. The problem is, in Ephesians 4:11, Paul says God gave teachers. And in Titus 2:3, it tells women to be teachers to the other women. God indeed ordained teachers, elders. Yeah, multiple elders in every local body Paul ordained to oversee and teach people. Of course, the Spirit ultimately teaches us all truth, but the Word of God ordains teachers. Hey, what is Jeremiah on the internet doing? He's teaching. What does he have? 8 favorite ministries on YouTube that are a bunch of heretics. I'll go over that. What are they all doing? They're teaching. Do you see the lies and hypocrisy of this man? He says you only need the Spirit to teach you. He says I can't be a teacher, yet him and his buddies are all teaching false ways. More lies, over 40 lies in 44 minutes. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying it because he keeps lying. Let's keep going. Do you notice that sound? He's got a picture of me and my wife, and he's got this screaming, laughing sound. He makes a mockery of God's truth is what he does. And he doesn't prove any truth, but nothing but lies. Let's keep going.
It's darkness and not light, because this hypocrite rebels against God's word in so...
All right, so let's stop right there. So he says, I'm in darkness and no light. Liar. More lies. I'm a hypocrite. Liar. He gives no evidence to back this up in Scripture. And you know what? He ignores my many, many, many teachings that teach light, teach against darkness, teach the truth of God. My gospel website, my gospel message that comes right from the Scriptures, faith in Jesus Christ, His shed blood, His resurrection, fully God, fully man. You need His perfect righteousness. Repent, turn from your sin and the world and man-made false religion. Be born from above by the Spirit of God. The fruit you're born from above is holiness and obedience. Works, he calls it deeds. Doing the things God's commanded us to do is fruit, that we know Him, lest we keep willful sin. And enduring in the faith to the end. I just preached the gospel to you. That's on virtually every page, a link to it on my website. Jeremiah lies and ignores what I teach to slander. That's a worker of Satan. We're going to keep going.
Matthew chapter 22, verses 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The founder of this religion does not obey God's command. When you see his responses, his emails that he sent to certain people...
Alright, so he says I don't love. Well, I spent hours with him on the phone. I'm going to show you screen captures where we were loving each other back and forth. No evidence. He says emails and responses. Yep, false teachers get a rebuke. Go look up John the Baptist in Matthew. Go look Jesus in Matthew 23. Go look at Paul dealing with false teachers. He lies when he says, I have no love. I loved on him. James 5, 19 through 20 says, If you see a brother in sin, I thought he was a brother. I don't know now. I think he's a worker of Satan. And you pull him from his sin, you save a soul from death. James 5, 19 through 20. More lies, over 40 in 44 minutes, from Jeremiah, because he does not walk in the truth. I'm proving it here. Let's keep going.
Obey God's command. When you see his responses, his emails that he sent to certain people, and he isn't led by the Spirit when he's refuting these false religions and cults and false denominations.
Alright, so there he says, I'm not led by the Spirit. Does he give any evidence in this testing? No, you can go watch the whole 44 minute video, which is all of him, by the way, on screen. He doesn't give any evidence of that, but he says it. So he likes to say things that he doesn't prove. Hey, that sounds like the enemy, Satan, doesn't it? Yeah, let's keep going.
Also proclaims that God's love for mankind is past tense.
Obedience, come out of the culture, come out of Sunday church, pagan holiday.
So here he puts a video up of me, and I'm going to play it, of me street preaching.
All this worldliness, then seek after the kingdom of God while it may be found, and endure following Jesus. Christmas and Easter are pagan holidays. God never ordained them. He didn't. He hates people that love violence. He hates wicked people. Psalm 5:5 tells us that. But love and grace and mercy and truth is available.
All right, so let's stop right there. He never refuted my verses. Psalm 11:5 says God hates those that love violence. And Psalm 5:5 says God hates the wicked. That's sinful workers of iniquity. He never answered those. He just ignored them. Those inflamed him and got him mad. I think, in my experience, I've seen men who live in sin. They get mad when you tell them that God hates those who keep sin. And they want to pour God's love over them, but not true repentance and the gospel, which calls you out of your sin. Let's keep going here.
In Jesus Christ, one time, God so loved the world. 2,000 years ago.
So did you hear that? So then he does this slow-mo thing. I won't even play it. It's so silly where he has my voice going slow. How ridiculous. So past tense is what the argument we got in. And I said God showed his love 2,000 years ago by sending Jesus Christ to die and shed his blood and rose again to defeat death. He didn't like that because he says, you're going to see what he says, it's heresy, that God loves the sinners but hates the sin. No Bible verse says that. He absolutely is upset when I say God showed his love. Well, if you look at all the verses, he quotes one. Well, let's just go there. Let's listen to it. Hold on. So yeah, we're talking about the past, okay? God showed his love in Christ, and here's the whole theology of it without going into too much depth, and you can read it all on my website, don'tperish.com, the teaching blog, it's on every page, that God showed his love in Christ 2,000 years ago. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he sent Christ. That love is available today as I preach to this man in the street. If you'll repent and seek after Christ and come to him, be his word and forsake your sin. What's left if you don't have the love of God? The wrath of God. If you don't go to heaven, where are you going? To hell. If you're not in the kingdom of God, you're in the kingdom of Satan. Jeremiah doesn't understand this. He's a novice. He's a liar. And so it has to be refuted using God's word. He's going to use verses here. We'll show that the love is past tense. Meaning, God did that one act, one time, 2,000 years ago. You can get his love today. But what do you have to do to get the love of God? Come to Christ in faith. Repent. I just preached the gospel to you. Turn from your sin. Be born again. Follow in holiness and obedience as works, fruit that you know him. And endure in the faith. Let's keep going. Oh, here next he has me on video, street preaching, and a man asks about the atonement. Let's cover this.
Yep, for the atonement.
For his people, for his sheep that were following him.
Yep, for the atonement. For his people, for
the
atonement.
Well, atonement is a big, big word that many people have different meanings for, so that would be a long discussion.
The atonement?
Well, atonement is a big, big word that many...
Okay, so he double plays it. He plays over my words. So I didn't want to go into atonement with this man I'm street witnessing to. And, well, let's play it. You're going to hear what Jeremiah has to say.
People have different meanings for, so that would be a long discussion. Atonement is for repentant people that are eligible for the grace of God. Israel had to be eligible.
So he puts a picture. When I said the atonement is for the people that repent and become eligible for the grace of God, as Israel did, forsaking their sin, he puts up the words heresy after heresy. No, that's actually true. You don't get the atonement of Christ. It's not universal. I wonder, does he believe in universalism? That Jesus died and everybody gets the atoning work, whether they believe, repent, are born again? Interesting. Let's keep listening.
Eligible for the grace of God. How? God said, turn from your sin and forsake it. Then they made themselves eligible. American Christianity,
if you test this religion's doctrine, you will find this leader teaches that John 3:16, for God so loved the world, is a past tense love, which is a violation of 1 John 4:8. He that loveth...
All right, so hold on. So he says it's a violation of 1 John 4:8. We'll look at that in a second. The Bible says God so loved, past tense, one act in Jesus. If you missed that act 2,000 years ago and don't apply his life, his blood, his resurrection to your life through the gospel that I just preached to you, you miss the atonement and the work of God. Let's keep going. He's going to bring 1 John 4:8 here.
Loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love.
So he talks about right there that God is love, okay? And if you go over all these verses in 1 John, who is that love directed towards? Go read 1 John. Go read all of them, all the chapters, to God's people, to the ones that have repented, to place their faith in him. What's the opposite of God's love? Wrath. You either get God's love because you come via the gospel, or you get God's wrath. And Jeremiah has a twisted view of God's wrath. We're going to cover that in a little bit, but let's keep going. All right, so Jeremiah went on to read Isaiah 40:28, talking about the everlasting God, Psalm 100, verse 5, mercy's everlasting, Jeremiah 31:3, everlasting love, Psalm 90, verse 2, everlasting to everlasting. No disagreement there. The problem is he's trying to overlay this everlasting love and mercy and grace of God on everyone that hasn't repented and come and placed their faith in Christ. He must be a universalist. Versus saying that's available to everyone who will come via the gospel that I preach to you. Let's listen to what he says here about 1 John 4:8.
By scripture, God is everlasting. And 1 John 4:8 states that God is love. God is love, and his love is everlasting.
Okay, so he uses 1 John 4:8 and he says God is love, and we agree, God is love. Let's go to 1 John 4. He used 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Right? Let's read verses 4 and 5. Who's the context? Jeremiah has no understanding of what context in God's word is. Who's the context of this love being expressed to? Verse 4 and 5. Ye are of God little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Not everybody gets that. It's the people born of God via the gospel, right? Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The context of 1 John 4 is not the world and everybody. The context is God's people. Jeremiah doesn't know how to understand context. Over 40 lies in 44 minutes, I'm showing them to you, and we'll keep going as proof.
And was once love, and it ended at the cross, then God is not present, and God is not forever existent, which therefore there'd be no hope, and we'd all be damned to hell. This is exactly...
Once again, he puts up the picture of me and my wife with this wicked screaming and laughing on there. Let's talk about what he just said. So he's talking about that once love. That once love. Well, we've showed you John 3:16. God so loved the world. In 1 John, God loved. Past tense. It's in Jesus Christ. You know what I find interesting? I'm going to post it on the testing. Even a person that commented on this video he put up about me said, it's past tense. God showed his love when he sent Christ to die 2,000 years ago. Jeremiah is quite clueless. He's a novice, and he needs to study more. I tried to help him to see that, but he just didn't get it. Let's keep going.
Heresy that don'tperish.com teaches, and those that take part in it will have an even greater damnation, according to Matthew chapter 23.
Okay, more lies. He says, I teach damnation and heresy. The love of God was shown. God so loved the world. Past tense, in Jesus, 2,000 years ago. It's the only love you're ever going to get is what Christ did at that sacrifice and his resurrection. That's what we mean by past tense. We look backwards to see what God did. You can get the love today via the gospel. Jeremiah doesn't have a clue about that. We're going to keep going. More lies. Over 40 lies in 44 minutes.
All of humanity. He has a benevolent love to unbelievers, calling them to repentance, warning them in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, is not wanting any to perish, but to repent. In Luke 13:3, warning that unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Acts 6.
All right, let's hold on there. So he's talking about this love that God has for these people that haven't repented. And Jesus says in Luke 13:3, lest you repent, you all will perish. Folks, what's the opposite of going to be with the Father in heaven in eternity? Hell, judgment, and wrath, right? So he's saying God's loving these people as he's sending them to hell, judgment, and wrath. You're going to see his twisted idea of parental love and God's love. No, no, no. God told us in Psalm 5:5, he hates those that do wicked, sinful ways. And the Bible is clear what's going to happen in the end. We're going to cover that to people that refuse to yield, bend their knee to Jesus Christ. It's not going to be the love of God. It's going to be the wrath and the judgment of God. More to come.
The world so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life.
There you go. So he proves it to me again. God so loved the world. That's a past tense act. All right? And the Bible tells us it's a one-time act. That's why I teach it's past tense. The love is available today in Christ, but it's a one-time act done in the past. Jeremiah, in his anger, flesh, and zeal, because I called out his feminized novice house, is trying to attack with lies and slander, but it doesn't work. Anybody who knows my ministry, what I teach, will laugh at this. And I'm doing this as a teaching moment to instruct all of the people that might hear it, and hopefully to the saving of this young man's soul. He's desperately lost. We'll keep going.
Unbelievers. And in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Alright, so here he quotes Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's go look at Romans. I love the book of Romans. Unfortunately, men like Jeremiah twist it out of context. Romans 5:8 in King James, he uses a different translation. But God condemneth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's read verses 9 through 11, shall we, to see the context? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Who's we? The body of Christ, God's people. Saved from what? The wrath of God. You mean those that don't come through the body get the wrath of God, not love? Yeah. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled by God to the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we will be saved by his life. Hey, this book of Romans is all for the reconciled of God, not for the people out in the world. Yeah, go read Romans 1. Paul warns about those outside and what's coming to them. Judgment, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now received the atonement. And I want to go back to this atonement. Let's talk about this. I kind of bounced over that. In the video, he tells me the atonement's really simple, that you should have been able to explain it. Jeremiah doesn't know what he's talking about. Did you know that many people have different atonement ideas? There's Christus Victor atonement. There's recapitulation atonement. There's satisfaction atonement. There's moral influence atonement. And there's penal substitutionary atonement. He said it's simple. You know, it's just that simple. Jeremiah is clueless. He has not studied. He does not know what he's talking about. He needs to stand down. Maybe needs to be born again, get his life, get his feminized house in order, and study to be approved. Oh, I forgot. He doesn't like to study. He needs to change that and repent of it. More lies over 40 and 44 minutes coming up.
The whole world to have eternal life through repentance and faith in him. And besides this love.
So right there, he talks about God intends the whole world to have eternal life. And I agree, God doesn't want any to perish. And then he says it, through faith and repentance and coming through the gospel. So I have a question for Jeremiah. If you don't come through faith and repentance and you reject that sacrifice and that work of Christ, do you get the love of God in eternity? He won't answer that, because the answer is no. You get the wrath of God. Let's keep going.
Love. God has a special love of complacency and satisfaction for those in his Son, Christ Jesus. Quote, Ephesians 2, chapter 4, verse 5, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Right there, he loved us. The love is shown in Jesus Christ for God's people. That's the whole crux of our argument about love. He doesn't get that. He sounds like a universalist. He teaches some Calvinism, yet he also says you can't willfully sin and still go to heaven. He doesn't believe in once saved, always saved. Jeremiah is lying. He's confused, or he's a deceiver. You decide which one. Let's keep going.
Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You see.
All right, so let's go there. He just read Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. Love that. The eternal word of God. Let's go to Ephesians 2. And let's again. But God was rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Who's us? God's people. With Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hey, let's read verses 12 through 13. that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. If you're in the world and you're outside of Christ, no hope. There's not going to be any love of God until you repent and come through Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. You heard me preach the gospel. That's what I teach. In context, Ephesians 2, the love that God showed back at the cross is available for God's people that come through the gospel that I preach to you. Is it making sense to you? Over 40 lies in 44 minutes, I'm telling you the truth. Right here, let's keep going.
23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him.
All right, let's hold it right there. Jesus says, you will keep his words. Yeah, go read John 15, verse 10. Let's go read John 15, verse 10 together. How do we get the love of God? Oh, Jeremiah doesn't want to believe this. How do you get the love of God per Jesus? John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. How do you get the love of God per Jesus, creator of the universe? Abide in the word. Keep the commandments. That means you're born of God. You know his love then. Outside of Christ, who came 2,000 years ago, there is no love of God that will be displayed on the rebellious, lost world. Only his wrath. Jeremiah is lying and very confused. Over 40 lies in 44 minutes from this young man. Let's keep going.
Jesus 4 verse 9 through 11, it says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
Here. Hold that right there. So, he quotes a verse that says that God loved us. Loved in Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, who died and shed his blood, a one-time act. Who's us? Yeah, he keeps helping my case here. God's people. The love of God is displayed for God's people. Right now there's grace for people outside. Yeah, until they die. Then they face what? So appointed unto man once to die, then face judgment. Outside of Christ, outside of the gospel, there is not going to be the love of God displayed. Jeremiah does not know God's word. Let's keep going.
Fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made in perfect love. We love him because he first loved us.
Once again, he quotes another verse. He loved us in Christ at that sacrifice and resurrection. Outside of that, there is no love. Context here in 1 John 4 is the love of God goes to God's people, and the offer of repentance and new life and love is there for anyone, whosoever will come. John 3:16. That's what I teach. That's what the Bible teaches. Jeremiah's lying. I'll show you some more of his lies coming up.
Be clear that God loves the whole world, believers and unbelievers. The good old saying that God loves the sinner but hates sin. And sin.
All right, folks, open your Bibles. Go study. God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. You won't find a Bible verse anywhere that says that. I quoted to you Psalm 5:5, God hates the wicked. Psalm 11:5, he hates those who love violence. He destroyed, let's go there, Noah. Why did God destroy the earth in Noah's day? It was filled with violence. That backs up Psalm 11:5. Did God love all those people that he drowned outside of Noah's ark? How ridiculous. How about 2 Thess? Let's go there. 2 Thess in the future. 1. 2 Thess 1. I use this all the time in street preaching. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Folks, does that sound like those people outside of obeying the gospel and knowing God are going to get the love of God? That's what this is all about. This is a battle over truth and a heretic, lying man like Jeremiah. He just told you a lie over 40 and 44 minutes that God loves sinners, but not, and he hates the sin. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. It warns you sinners that God hates those that are workers of iniquity. Jesus said, "You are my friend if you keep my commandments." I'm going to believe Jesus, not lying Jeremiah. More to come.
We may discipline or punish our children, and they'll be under our wrath if walking in disobedience to our authority. But we still love our children unconditionally. So what does the Bible have to...
So you heard him say that. I mentioned he uses a bad parental example. So you're a parent, you love your children, you discipline them, you're under their wrath, they're under your wrath, but you still love them. See how he equated parents? Well, little problem here. We don't judge our children's eternal fate. We correct them with discipline and a rod of punishment to guide them and correct them. We don't own them. We don't own their soul like God does. What is God going to do? Yeah, God chastises his true people. Yep, that's who he chastises. But what's God going to do with those people outside that are rebellious, haven't repented, haven't been born again because of their will, chose against God, and denied what Christ has done 2,000 years ago in that past show of love? His wrath. Go study what the word wrath means. It means anger, indignation, judgment. To equate parents disciplining children with God and his wrath with unbelievers is not even close. More lies from Jeremiah. If you're outside of Christ and you get the wrath of God, I just read 2 Thessalonians 1 to you, you're going to be destroyed. That's not the love of God. The love of God is in Christ. Repent and come to him while you can. Let's keep going with more documented lies.
Heretical doctrine of don'tperish.com or let'sperish.com, whichever one you prefer to call it, about God.
Did you notice you hear the people laughing? So he makes a laughing track when he shows our website. I think this is funny to him. We're to be sober-minded. There's nothing funny about this wrangling over the truth and the gospel, Jeremiah. You need to repent. You're acting as a wicked man because you're in your flesh. Listen what he says here.
God not loving the whole world and only those in the body of Christ. Shall we just hate unbelievers? Shall we just hate the Gentile like the religions and cults do?
So there's more lies. He said that I don't teach that God loved the world. Liar! My gospel's on every page. It says he sent Christ 2,000 years ago because God loved enough to show the way that you must come through Christ. And if you miss that way, you will not get the love of God. That's why they were called to repentance. You will get the wrath of God. So he just lied once again, over 40 lies in 44 minutes. Hard to believe somebody can lie this much and still claim to be of God. If you read my website, you'll see the love of God all over and the warning to repent. You know what? It's loving to tell my neighbor to repent. Yes, it is. More to come.
He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring...
Here he's reading Romans 8, and it says right in there. He's reading Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then? If God is for us, who is against us? What's the context? God's people, born again by his Spirit, not the world. Jeremiah has no clue how to separate people of the world versus God's people. All these epistles were written to the bodies of Christ in the New Testament, not the people of the world that are outside of the love of God. Remember, I just read you the verse where Paul said you were outside, you were an alien, you had no hope. All these letters are to the people that have the love and the hope of God. Let's keep going.
8:39. For I am convinced neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present.
All right, so here he's reading Romans 38 and 39, the famous verse where people say, I'm convinced neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor present, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? That doesn't cover sin. Yeah. You know, a first grader from a Sunday school class in some false evangelical system probably knows what separated man from God? Sin. Romans 8, 38 and 39 is talking about tribulation, not sin. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, if we willfully sin, there is no more sacrifice for sin. Jeremiah actually told me on the phone he agrees with that. But he's a liar, as I'm showing you. I don't know what he really believes. I hope he repents. We'll keep going. He says something interesting right here.
Religion uses articles on their website to do the will of Satan. Attempting to...
All right, hold it right there. Lie number whatever. We're on our way to 40 lies in 45 minutes. I use my articles to do the work of Satan. Did he prove any of that by going to any of my articles and refuting anything I've taught in my thousands of teaching articles? No. By the way, Jeremiah has a little YouTube channel that has a few teachings on it, videos, showing him on video, which he says is prideful, by the way, and a bunch of false teachers. I'm going to go over who they are in a minute. But I use my articles for Satan. More lies, more slander, no evidence. He's a worker of Satan. I hope he repents. Let's keep going.
Shake faith and apostatize believers from the love of God in these last days through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is a gift from God, and it is not of ourselves.
Did you hear him just say that? Alone? He believes the Luther lie. Faith alone. Again, not one Bible verse says faith alone. James says, you're not saved by faith only. Show me your works, I'll show you my faith. Jesus said, do the works of the Father. If you don't forgive your brother, you won't be forgiven. Whoever keep my commandments is in my love. You are my friend if you keep my commandments. Yeah, faith and works go together. Jeremiah doesn't believe that. He has a false gospel. He's a liar, deceiving people. And I want to expose it.
Don't perish, let's perish religion. Teaches a deeds or perish non-salvation. The website.
So more lies right there. A deeds or perish salvation. Faith and works go together. Everything I teach, every article, every audio, every street preaching video is rooted in the Word of God, either the New Testament teachings or pre-Torah teachings. I don't teach Torah law. Again, he says these things. It's like me if I was to say that Jeremiah is into this sin or that sin, and I have no evidence of it. That's called slander. Aren't we supposed to prove all things? He quoted Ephesians. That's what it says, Ephesians 5. Test and prove, 1 Thess 5. Ephesians 5, expose. He hasn't proven much at all. It gets worse. His lies over 40 and 44 minutes. It gets worse. Hold on. By the way, I need to remind you, when he says deeds, that's called works. Yep. In Matthew 25, Jesus says those who do righteous works will enter in. James talks about faith and works. The Bible, all over, is replete in the New Testament of faith with works, obedience, holiness. Hebrews 5:9 says he made the way for those who obey him. Hey, that would be works and deeds. Jeremiah, you need to study more. Get off YouTube. By the way, I need to say this. Jeremiah doesn't work. His wife works. He doesn't work. So he has time to sit around and make false videos. He certainly isn't spending his time studying the Word of God. Hey, go study what the Bible says about men who don't work but send their wives out to do it. What a wicked worker. More to come. All right here he says something really strange, which is kind of weird.
Science articles link to his unsecure blogspot.
I don't know what that means. I use Blogger, unsecure, and he makes some insinuation that I'm a hacker or I use it for insidious means. I don't take money. I don't take donations. I don't sell anything. What would I be hacking off of my website? I didn't even know what unsecure was on the Blogspot. I'm not a computer guy. I'm just using it for God's glory. He's grasping. He's a liar over 40 in 44 minutes, and he's a grasper. What difference does it make if my blog spot is secure or unsecure? I know nothing of it. I barely got it put up. I'm not a computer guy. How foolish, and what a grasper. Let's keep going. Here he insinuates I'm working for the devil.
Never truly hide his face.
He showed a picture of an insidious guy with a computer like I'm trying to hack people. What a liar he is. And listen to more lies. Ready? Listen to this.
We are spiritually discerned.
He's got a funny face laughing. Do you see how he laughs about what he says is heresy? He's acting foolish. What does the Bible say about fools? Listen in.
There is a kingdom of light and there is a kingdom of darkness. He also testified to me to have previously been a drunk and a cage fighter in which...
Alright, hold it right there. So drinking, yeah, I used to go out and party when I was a pagan before I was born again by the gospel and received the love of Christ and new life and salvation if I endure in the faith. He lies about the cage fighting. I don't know where he got that from. Does he watch cage fighting? I said I used to be a drunk and a fighter. I used to get in fights when I was a drunk. I used to be a rowdy man. I was confessing to him my wicked past. I was the worst of the worst. He goes on the internet and says I was a cage fighter. How foolish. Maybe he watches cage fighting. I notice he likes soccer. He likes worldly things. He likes sports. His house is worldly and feminized. I hope he's not watching cage fighting. I never said I was a cage fighter. Over 40 lies in 44 minutes. Let's keep going.
They suggest where his hateful personality comes from, having not been truly sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
So right there he says my hateful personality. I'm going to show you screen captures where we were loving on each other in our messages as we were trying to draw close. But he calls me hateful. More lies. I'm proving it. And I'll show it with the screen captures. More to come. It gets worse, actually, believe it or not. All right, coming up is perhaps his worst lie out of the over 40 he tells, where he talks about when him and I, he brought up skirts for women, and we started talking about dress and tunics for men, and you're going to hear what he says.
Of promise, due to his unbelief in the Jesus Christ of Scripture, who gives his spirit to true believers. One of this don't perish religious cult's very initial abominations is with its first false doctrine of tunic wearing and dethrones Jesus Christ, God's only begotten sacrifice for sins, to an...
That is perhaps the worst lie he tells. Him and I were talking about tunics, and I took him to Genesis 3:21, where Adam and Eve sinned. They covered themselves with leaves. Aprons, it says in the Hebrew. And God saw it wasn't good enough, and Genesis 3:21 says God took skins of animals and made them tunics. And I told him that's a beautiful archetype of Jesus Christ shedding his blood to cover mankind. God did the first animal sacrifice to cover mankind. That's what I said. That's what I teach. It's all over my website. It's a beautiful archetype. Then moving on to the animal sacrifices God ordained. Moving on to Jesus Christ, the ultimate Lamb of God. Moving on to the gospel that saves us. Did you hear him lie? I dethroned Jesus by insinuating, I think, that that animal that was shed to put tunics on us covers our sins. What a wicked liar this Jeremiah is. Over 40 in 44 minutes, that was probably the biggest lie he told right there. How wicked. I fear for the wrath of God that's coming upon him. We'll keep going.
God's sacrifice for mankind's sin being an animal sacrifice in Genesis 3:21 rather than Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in the New Testament.
More lies. Every page of my website has the gospel link where I proclaim Christ's death, burial, shed blood, resurrection for the forgiveness of sin, his perfect righteousness. More lies from Jeremiah 44. Excuse me, 40. Over 40 in 44 minutes. There's more to come.
Convicted that they're in sin, what do they do?
Here he plays an audio of me teaching it. Let's listen.
Well, if you read in Genesis, they go and make
fig leaves. And they make what's called in the Hebrew an apron. Everybody knows what an apron is. It's a little thing that covers kind of your front, and it covers a little bit on your side, but it's not very covering at all, okay? So Adam and Eve go and make aprons, and then they have to confront God. Go to Genesis 3. Here we go. Here, I'm tying it together for you. The blood of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, I'm going to tie it all the way down to your clothing. Today, as a clean believer, go to Genesis 3, and I'm going to read it for you. Let me get there.
Did you notice what I said? I was going to tie the shed blood of Christ to your clothing. I never said I was going to show you atonement in your clothing. How ridiculous. I'm showing you an archetype, and it's pretty interesting. One of the teachers that Jeremiah suggests teaches the same exact thing. I'm going to prove that to you, but let's keep listening.
Get there. Genesis 3, verse 21. And it says this. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Now, this is the fourth thing God did after mankind fell, so it's really important. It's a key, very important. And God does this physical act. What does it say? Of skins. What are skins? These are animal skins. Any of you guys that hunt or farm, how do you get a skin off an animal? It doesn't just fall off and the animal runs away. You gotta kill it. When you kill something, you shed its blood. When you skin it, it bleeds out. So this is beautiful. Bear with me. God sees Adam and Eve have sinned. Their little slinky garment of an apron is not enough covering for them because now they're walking around in their sin. God, the creator of the universe, he decided that he was going to clothe mankind. It's the only... So God decides the apron isn't enough. By the way, you and probably you and most of the culture today is wearing apron-like garments today. You've gone backwards. You've gone away from God's design. And
did God really perform the first sacrifice in...
All right, so right here he's going to say he disagrees with me saying animal skins mean God killed animals and shed blood. Listen in.
In Genesis 3:21, but is any of this really true? Did God really practice the first animal sacrifice? Was it truly a lamb? Did God intend for Adam and Eve to learn about substitution?
First of all, there's another lie right there to go with this over 40. I never said a lamb. I never said what kind of animal it was. The Bible says animal skins. He doesn't study very well. In his flesh and in his zeal to try to expose me, he looks really foolish. But let's keep listening.
Substitutory atonement. Frankly, this seems to be an awful lot to read into one single verse, which says nothing other than God made tunics and clothed them. The definite...
All right, so he admits God made tunics, and let's see if he starts wearing a tunic, because that's what God put us in, but that's another side issue. So do you notice he says it's not shown anywhere, and this is a far reach. He supports John MacArthur. I don't support John MacArthur. He's a heretical, Calvinist, worldly, carnal, wicked, false teacher who believes you could take the mark of the beast and still repent. But he's on the favorite 8 list of Jeremiah's teaching blogs. I'm going to post for you a comment by John MacArthur who says exactly what I teach. Hey, even blind squirrels find nuts. He's got some truth from God's word. And John MacArthur says, God killing an animal, shedding blood, and covering man was a beautiful, beautiful archetype of Jesus Christ. I'm going to post that in this testing of Jeremiah so you can see he's refuting me, but the people he says John MacArthur is a sound teacher actually teaches exactly that. And I want to give you one more point before we go to part 2 of this. Go read Genesis 4 and Genesis 8. The animal sacrifices continue right there. God started it. They continued, turned into the animal sacrifice system. Then Jesus Christ came. Yeah, it's what God's word teaches. Jeremiah does not know God's word. This is going to be part 1. I'll be back to you with part 2. Stay tuned.